Hello everyone, I'm Matt Berry. And this is the fifth episode of a series of conversations with Jean-Michel Jarre at his studio in Paris. Today, we'll be talking about Planet Jarre and Equinox Infinity.
Okay, so Planet Jarre, which is literally a record of a recording you did in 1968, all the way through until the last recordings.
So that's the
first one.
Yeah, exactly.
Right all the way until.
Yeah.
And that was that your idea? Was that something that you wanted to do?
To tell the truth, I mean, the compilation album is never an artist idea. Mm. It's always coming from the record company. And they say, okay, when they approached me and we had this deal with the record company by doing one compilation. And to tell you the truth, I hate compilation albums. Yeah. I think they are like, it's, for me, it's like taking chapters of different books in the same book. That doesn't make sense, except if you are just doing albums. I don't know, like Julio Iglesias or Frank Sinatra, just a series of songs, but yeah. Not with a concept. A compilation from Pink Floyd, for me, doesn't really make sense because each album, they have their own identity. Having said that, I said, okay, if we do something, we have to think in a different way. And then I went with this idea. I mean, they were all talking about this idea of Planet Jarre. I was not necessarily a big fan of the title, except the fact that I thought it's actually quite relevant of the inner world. Everybody has his or her own planet. It's her own world. And then it's okay. And then why not dividing this planet in different territories, different continents? And looking and thinking back to my work, I realized that I have four different approaches in music, in writing music. One is coming probably from my heritage from classical music and also influence from movies and soundtracks. And this kind of long ambient kind of moods, a little bit like the Oxygen Part One, yeah. where you have no real beats, but it's really much more kind of soundscapes. And then I call this first part soundscapes. And then I chose through the different albums, different parts of that kind that I tried to mix together to create a kind of album on its own.
Yeah.
And these four different styles of music, I tried to conceive four different albums, four different vinyls, because it's a project with four vinyls and two CDs. And so I would say vinyl one or part one is the soundscape. The second approach I have for regarding music is the melody. I always consider that the most important, and this is fundamentally something totally different from Xenakis we were talking about before. Mm. I always been convinced that the most important thing in music is the melody.
Yeah.
And then I know that sometimes I start from a simple melody, from a keyboard or from any kind of instruments, and then doing the whole arrangement and the whole song around. So that's a different category that I actually simply call themes. And I try to find something that could also still work together for making an album on its own. Then the third approach is actually something we discussed previously, what is probably part of what makes the DNA of electronic music is this kind of repetitive, hypnotic type of sequences around which you create the arrangement and everything, this kind of repetitive type of patterns. And then I call this part sequences. And then I try to find in different albums, the different sequences I could work together. And the fourth one is actually linked to my link with the Music Research Center, the GRM and the electroacoustic music. I mean, the idea that sometimes I'm starting from raw sounds taking a microphone and tape recorder and going out, recording the sound of the rain, the sound of the car, the engine, and then going back to the studio and doing music with it. That was the first way I was when I started electronic music. And then nowadays with samplers, you are doing more or less the same. So This last part, I called it explorations and early works, because the early works I started far before Oxygen, using this process that that was the main way of doing music in the Music Research Center in with Schaeffer and Pierre Henry and all that, and also later on with albums such as Zuluk or even Souvenir of China, when I mixed some camera clicks or things like this. I mean, I try to find lots of songs, piece of music that where I use this kind of approach, and then that is the fourth part of the fourth album.
Yeah. So the way that it could be satisfying for you to do a best of compilation would be to have it, to give it some themes, yes, to have a theme for each.
Yeah. I didn't think about that, but actually, again, then it's, for me, it makes sense because I recreated a kind of concept for each part. Yeah. So it's actually four concept albums and not just a series of songs. Okay. And I think it does work.
Yeah,
and
sure.
That was totally, so it was a creative process was involved because it was quite subjective. And maybe some people would say, why not this part or that part? But it, just because it was not matching the rest of the album.
Yeah. Okay. And there is a four vinyl version, isn't there? Which I suppose leads us then to vinyl artwork and your artwork in general. And you started off with the artist Michael Granger, who did mm-hmm. your first two, and then he did Rendezvous, didn't he? And then some others afterwards. Why did you choose his image initially?
Actually, I chose the Michel Granger artwork. I mean, by coincidence, when I was recording what would become Oxygen, I had the idea of this title. I was quite involved in environment at that time, and it was not that popular. We were not that many to think about that. And then I passed by an art gallery in Paris, and I suddenly saw this image, and it was just an exhibition of somebody I didn't know, a young painter, and I went into it, and it was just. The gallery just opened the week before, so it was still really virgin, and it wasn't. And I asked what it was. I met the guy, and I met Michel Granger, and then I bought the painting.
Yeah.
And I said that is going to be the cover of my album, because it's exactly what I want to express, and it fits really that. And then we were both thinking the same thing about the environment and all that, so we became instant friends. And then that our relationship started like this. And then after that, he had such a very unusual and specific style that I thought it could be very, very, very nice to use that. And the same thing with Equinox.
He already painted that image, the Equinox image, before you used that?
So the Equinox painting, I went back to him saying, this is what I want to achieve, what, and maybe you should do something. And he showed me something that was not finished.
Right.
And said, that's great. It's exactly what it means, because it's so strange, because I always thought that, which is really cool, is when the illustration of an artwork, cover is not just an illustration of the title. That would have been purely rock or pop. Is you have an album called Oxygen, and you have an oxygen mask, or you have a bottle of oxygen.
Yeah.
But having the earth with the skull means a lot about oxygen, but it's actually enriching the title.
Yeah.
And the same with Equinox. Equinox, you could have the sun by half or whatever. Yeah. I mean, planet and something. But having people watching you. And watching, so you don't know if they're watching you or watching the sky or watching something, a phenomenon.
Yeah. But,
and also these strange creatures seem to me much more interesting, intriguing.
Because it's called Stage Fright, isn't it? The picture, Le Trac, that's the...
Yes, that's right, exactly.
Yeah.
Because actually then he originally did that, and then he changed that because now it's called Equinox. But the original title, his working title was that, because he was an audience looking at the artist. And because also it was in days where I was thinking about La Concorde and also my own fear about going on stage with something with these instruments and something I never did before was it was working on for different reasons.
Yeah.
And so I know that you have a theory about the vinyl, so I'm curious to listen to it.
No, it's just that I don't know. I think the record buying public, the sort of generation of downloading, may have got fed up with having literally nothing for their money, in terms of something being downloaded.
Which is quite normal, because they don't pay that much, so it's quite relevant that they don't have nothing.
Yeah, and the downside of that is, and also no artwork.
Sure.
I mean, I remember my cousin, when he downloaded Nirvana's Nevermind, and I said, it's a great album cover. I haven't seen the album. I don't care what the album. Do you know? There was a massive part of that, experience that was kind of missing. And I don't know. I just think that one of the reasons, there's a whole bunch of reasons, but one of the reasons why I think vinyl is coming back and is being, and is exciting to young people again, is that simple fact of having something for your money now.
Of course.
Yeah. And here is Planet Jar, and there's four albums, and there's a lot to look at. Because the vinyl, you said, is a booklet and has all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just my, personal.
I think you're right. I think it's very interesting because, that there is a very interesting survey recently that showing that 60% of vinyls being bought are never played.
Right.
It means that people are downloading the music and then they are having the vinyls in their hands to actually watching the artwork and enjoying what we were doing back in time by playing the actual vinyl. And while it was playing, we were looking at the lyrics or looking at the artwork and having this kind of sensual contact with the music and with the artist. And now it's still the same, except now people are downloading and they just they have the visual experience. But it's the reason why that it's the artwork is going back big time and is more and more important. And this is the reason why I always took care of artwork. But these days I'm particularly focused on that. And, If we take the example of my next studio album, which is also linked to Equinox, I mean, I'm particularly happy with the artwork because I think I tried to push actually the idea so much that actually for the first time in my life, I started this a project from the artwork.
Right.
And actually, this next project is a kind of sequel of Equinox, called Equinox Infinity.
Yeah.
And I approached that almost like a movie. And instead of having Equinox 2 and all that, I always loved the sequels. I thought that sequels are quite cool in literature, in movies, for TV series. It doesn't really exist in music. And when I was doing Oxygen and Equinox with this part and said, it's like a book, I would like in my life being able to do a sequel for that. And then I did that for Oxygen. I didn't want necessarily to do this for Equinox, but suddenly I had the idea because it's also the 40th anniversary of Equinox. So the record company said, we should do something. And suddenly it became really clear that I would like to do a project starting from the cover.
Yeah.
And then this cover by Michel Granger with these very strange creatures. I said, these creatures with time, I think watching me and watching us is actually like the technology is watching us more and more with CCTV, but also with artificial intelligence. And what about, what happened to these guys today? And also what would happen to them in 40 years from now? So the first working title was Equinox 2058.
Right.
And then I changed it for Equinox Infinity. And then I started, I worked with a very good, very interesting artist from Czechy, from Prague, that I found on the net, and a very talented 3D graphic artist. And then I had this idea of having some artwork, quite a precise idea of the artworks I wanted. And then I asked him to work on that, and it was beyond my expectations. It was exactly what I wanted. And I said, okay, I would like to release this album, the same music, but with two different covers. So people will have the choice buying the CD or the vinyl, choosing one or the other.
Yeah.
And it would be exactly the same music, but with two different covers. But in days where everything, before you could do anything, but now everything being so organized and so so automatic in a sense, and so I didn't know if the record company could have the same code on the album. And by chance, we found a solution. So actually, this album is going to be released officially with two different covers.
Okay.
And then to push actually even more this artwork experience, and also to have a declination of this character in lots of different situations. And then talking about Michel Granger, of course, I went back to him saying, would you allow me to take your character and doing something else in 3D and all that. And he's been kind enough to accept that. And I'm really happy with these covers. I think that is, for me, really creating the link of the magic we all love with artwork, saying, wow, it's a real graphic statement. And yeah, it gives you a real idea of, and I got this artwork because when I started the project, I started the visuals first. So I had the visuals when I was writing the music all the time, every day.
Right.
So I really did a kind of soundtrack of the cover, yeah, of the
so
characters.
So you had it sort of projected up or on a screen?
Yes, on the computer, while I was working. And it's, of course, the first time that I ever did that.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting experience. And it's going back to what we were saying about the importance of the visuals, of the artwork.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So tell us more about Equinox Infinity musically. What have you done?
I've been very interested by the new Blade Runner. When I heard the soundtrack, I thought about it was Vangelis with Today.
Yeah.
And I thought about doing Equinox on steroids, in a sense. With the power we can have these days in terms of music, using also the kind of cinematic approach of the first part is like a trailer for the album almost. And then I really approached that by keeping some of the DNA of the music. I mean, Equinox was based on I said Oxygen is more ethereal and more linked, of course, with air, not the band, but the element. Where Equinox is more liquid, is more attached to water.
Yeah.
And then I kept that. It's also a wet album. It's an album linked with water and liquid and having this kind of texture. But also the way it's a very melodic album, Equinox. Lots of melodies, even more than Oxygen.
Yeah.
So I tried to also, and this one, Equinox Infinity, is a very melodic album. Almost every part is quite melodic, but also, I think it's very contemporary in terms of sounds. Yeah. So I tried to say, okay, if I had to do Today, the first Equinox, what kind of instruments I would use? So rather than trying to do just a vintage approach of redoing second Equinox with the same instruments, I of course use the instruments like the CS80, for instance, was a big instrument for the first one. So I used it a lot for the second one. Also, the R2600 a lot also. And also all the VCS3 AKS. And then I really built the whole project, not trying to copy the structure, but actually trying to create the same kind of evolution over the album.
Right, okay.
And I think it worked. And then why Equinox Infinity? Because actually the last track is called Equinox Infinity because I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm talking about it anyway. Because the idea would be, because it's also linked with artificial intelligence, the future of technology and all that. And then I'm working with some people in America where they have developed an algorithm to propose from let's say that, for instance, I'm going to give them a kind of ecosystem with lots of different elements.
Yeah.
All these elements should work together, and whatever the order, it works. And then we are planning to release an app with them where you have the version of the album, but actually by using the app, you can actually have these all elements random in different ways. So it's a first step of artificial intelligence implication, because I was ready to push much more collaboration with artificial intelligence. Maybe it would be for the next electronic album, but it was too soon, because at the moment, or you can.
So you would compose individual things, put that data into a computer, then let the computer. So
the Equinox Infinity in the album is actually a structured existing track.
Yeah.
It's existing with lots of things happening. And all these elements are in terms of pitch and beats, they all work together.
Right.
I put them in a certain order that I decided. But now this order can be absolutely mixed and changed in a random way, and it may work.
Okay.
And then we are experimenting this where the algorithm is going to, if you will go to the app and then you push play, and then you don't know in which order everything will happen. So actually, basically, you could, where the name infinity, having an infinity of possibility, or close to infinite possibilities.
Wow. Okay. So in terms of a nod to the 1978 album, is there certain sounds that you've used again, or certain things that one might recognize from?
Yes, I think that I use some Eminent sequences, like in the first one.
Yeah.
Some ARP sequences, ARP 2600 also sequences. Some sounds, as I said, about from the Yamaha CS80, which is a fantastic instrument, probably one of the best analog instruments ever made, and very difficult to maintain. I mean, Patrick spent lots of time to make it work. And actually, it's now out of pitch because it doesn't work. And then I had to double it with something right in pitch, but I kept the, even out of tune. It was slightly, but it gives something quite interesting. And then I kept that. And, all kinds of wind noises I did with the ARP and, AKS. So you have lots of elements, that I use from the first one.
Right.
And also talking about the titles, the main difference is actually this time, because I started from a kind of scenario or script for the first time, not the first time, but for Equinox, I have a title per track.
Oh, so you've gone back to, right.
Yeah, but even if the whole album is an album, I put the titles, and in quotes, I put movement one, movement two, movement three, four, five. So I keep the same idea, but each movement has a proper title, because I thought it would work with this kind of scenario I had, like doing a soundtrack, yeah. Imaginary soundtracks based on the characters. So I think it was quite fun for a change to have titles per part, because that was okay because of the way I started the whole concept for this album.
Yeah, and there's eight movements, is there, like the first one? Oh, there's ten.
Yeah, this is ten, even more.
Okay.
You have two bonus. No, it's actually ten because I, you know why? Because you were mentioning about the Band in the Rain.
Yeah.
And the Band in the Rain has been called, as I told you, after Equinox, because Equinox Part 8 was with Band in the Rain and another track. And then when I wanted to use Band in the Rain on its own, it was part of Part 8. It was strange. Then it became Band in the Rain. And I realized that there is a similar situation in the new Equinox. I said, if it's in the same part, it's going to be a problem. So I divided all this with also proper titles. And each title is linked to the kind of scenario and script linked to these watches. And I really would like maybe to have comic book or animation about this kind of scenario, so-called.
Yeah. So you didn't think about using symbols instead of track titles?
What, for instance?
So you, Movement One, instead of being called Movement One, could just be like a shape. Yeah. Different shapes for each thing.
Yeah, that could be possible. But now you are more and more trapped in the modern days with the fact that every record company and everything has to have a recognizable words. Yeah. And then you're trapped with all these things. I mean, it's strange how technology is pushing boundaries on one side, but limiting, and that was the conversation we had at lunchtime, limiting us so much. We are much less free than before. I mean, now you can, for instance, I give you an example, and that was something that we had to face 2 days ago. I did this album, and for me, the album is a continuous mix, it's a continuous story. But because of Spotify and all the digital platform where you can buy or stream one track, I suddenly realized that when we are dividing that, each part was finishing by because it was you had no end. Yeah. So we had to redo everything for the digital platforms to have short fade out.
Fade out. Yeah.
To make it. The problem is if, for instance, you go to a platform such as iTunes, the reason why that I put a continuous mix version, so they will have the album version, continuous mix. But if you take the whole album, just track by track, and you listen to them, you will have fade out between each part,
right?
Which I don't like. But you know, this is a very good example of how technology is limiting us. You can't do anything. I have lots of examples like that. For instance, if you go to iTunes with an album, one track, like Prince did a long time ago, where you say, okay, my album is a concept. It's just one track of 40 minutes. You can't do that because one track is an EP.
Yeah.
And this album will be sold for
79 pence or whatever.
£2.
Oh, right. Okay.
Instead of £9.99.
Yeah, yeah.
And then of course the record company will not accept that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have a lot of examples like that where digital technology is limiting creativity.
Yeah.
And also this is for commercial reasons, but you have other things that are just because of the technology in use, you can't do certain things.
Yeah. No, that is interesting. So for Equinox Infinity, would you plan to do that as a sort of twin with the first eight? Or this is a completely separate thing, like you did with Oxygen, where you had all, you know, sort of all three as one piece and then kind of had it as one piece. Would you do the same thing?
Yes, we are going to release a box set with the two albums in the same box.
Right.
But for me, the difference with Oxygen is Equinox Infinity is not following, it's not a sequel just off the first one. It's a sequel in terms of the fact that it's the same, belonging to the same Equinox world, but it's not like Equinox where the beginning of one is after the end of the previous one. Not at all.
Okay.
Something different. And another link I have, which is something I really like, actually, the first cover, the back photo of the first cover was from Helmut Newton. And then this one, I said, because we were good friends with Peter Lindbergh for years because he was just living on the other side here. And then I always said, if I do a second Equinox, I will also try to get another great, talented German photographer. And then the second one, Equinox Infinity, the back cover is from Peter Lindbergh. So it's a very nice and the same kind of concept that Helmut Newton did back in time. So it's another link, visual link with the
That's not the one album. Where you're wearing the gray sort of bomber jacket.
No, it's just the very close up with Night and Day.
Yeah.
That Helmut did. And what Peter Lindbergh said, without knowing anything, he did a series of photos and one is very close to that. So we are using this one as
a great. That's interesting. And is there any outtakes from the first?
No. Maybe some of it, but that we haven't put yet in. Maybe that would be for the future, but I wanted to keep this pure in a sense.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back in the studio with Jean-Michel Jarre next week for another episode.